And I really enjoyed hearing you talk the whole time.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we had a good time. So I think we're going to wrap up. And it is currently 9:57. You are listening to WMFO in Medford. And to sign off, we're going to play the classic song that actually I've been alternating songs. But sometimes we play Obla Di Obla Da because it has my name in it. And I really like that song. But now we're going to play a little different song. And it's going to be a surprise. So here we go.
There's no place I'd rather be. La la la, ita la ha na ha na. Heady heady, my tato.
How's everybody doing today? It's Anything Is Possible Radio on 91.5 WMFO FM, Medford, Somerville Radio. You know, today on the final episode of Anything Is Possible for the year, we've got some incredible guests, incredible vibes, incredible tunes, and excellent topics and very interesting takes. You know what I mean? We got it all. We got Ryan Bird in the house.
What don't we have? We don't have Matt McDermott.
We don't have Matt McDermott. Nor do we have Joe Rogan.
We don't have Joe Rogan. Next week, though. Maybe.
Next week, though.
I have to talk to my people. Has to talk to his people.
I'm sure we can come to some kind of agreement here.
I'm sure.
We have Hiroto Watanabe in the WMFO studio for the first time in his life.
You
How's
guys?
It going?
What's up? Hiroto Watanabe here. I'm just out here with the boys. Anything is possible, man.
Couldn't think of anything, a more true statement. I mean, all those things.
Hiroto.
Very true.
Tell me a little about yourself.
Well, I'm All-American in 800.
Duh!
There you have it.
It's true. TUTF. This show, we rep TUTF big time. We're big fans of TUTF.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, you know, a Cape Cod boy just out here in the big city. Just trying to live life and, enjoy life.
I don't know how you do it. Anyways, we got Brian Jerf in the house.
How's it going, everyone?
It's going good. It's good to hear you. It's good to hear from you, Brian.
Good to be heard from, James.
Oh yeah, no doubt. So first topic of the day, we've got a method of learning. Ready? This is how you learn stuff. It's called the Feynman technique.
Oh, he's about to give it to us.
Have you ever left class wondering about what your professor was even talking about? The Feynman technique will help you learn material faster and at a level when you will remember the concept for years to come. Professor Richard Feynman was a Nobel Prize-winning physicist who had the nickname The Great Explainer. By following four steps, you will learn a topic well enough to remember it on the final exam and the bar exam. Step 1. Write the name of the concept you want to learn at the top of the page. Step 2. Pretend you are teaching the topic to someone else, preferably a high school student. Step 3. When you get stuck or are shaky on one of the concepts, go back and study more. 4. Go back to step 1, repeat the process. It's a process. Trust the process. You will be able to learn anything with the Feynman technique. It's genius.
I believe it.
I mean, it makes sense, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta recall what you learned, and if you can't prove that you learned something to yourself, then you didn't learn it. I mean, it has to be from, you know, from off the top of the of your head for it to be really learned.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think one of the best ways of learning something is explaining it to someone else.
There you go. You
should never study alone.
Never study alone. It's dangerous.
Dangerous.
Because you might drown or get lost by yourself. Or...
Yeah. Talking things out is huge. Writing things down is huge. Just like writing it out, you know?
Yes.
Think about it.
100%. And sometimes when I'm studying alone, like, I'm lifting the bar above my head, but I don't feel like I can get it all the way. And it comes down to my chest, and I fear for my life. So that's why I never study alone, you know what I mean? It's very important. You know what I mean? You can reach the next level that way.
Exactly.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
That being said, I've studied alone for all the finals so far.
Nice work.
Brian Jerf, tell us about the Brian Jerf method.
The Brian Jerf method.
You just sit there.
We're studying.
And you stare at it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Just watching videos is big stuff. Until you understand the explanation well enough, you could tell it to yourself.
100%.
It's pretty big. We were talking about it the other day. Just a lot of people work so hard taking notes, they kind of forget to listen. And like taking notes is a good way to... Writing stuff down is a good way to remember it, but you have to kind of know what you're writing first.
Yeah. Yo, what's better? A test that's easy and no cheat sheet, or a test that's hard with a cheat sheet?
Test that's easy, no cheat sheet.
I think you learn more with the former.
Right. But you got, what if you just make a cheat sheet and then don't bring it in?
Then you don't have the cheat sheet.
Of course, we're talking about this because of finals season, which, if you don't go to university in the greater Boston area, is a thing that you have to do at the end of your classes, where you have to take a long test to prove that you somehow learned the material or something like that. Like,
or you just memorized it.
Right, right. Most likely you just studied 2 days before, said, oh, I should study for this test that's in 2 days. But then you know that you have the next day, so you don't really do anything. And then you get to the day before, and then you study a few hours, then get tired and give up. And then you've studied for 4 hours, and you go to the exam and get a 41. And then
you get a
degree. Rinse and repeat. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of cramming, I feel like one of the biggest benefits to cramming is that you get to, when you do finally sit down with the material, you get to really sit down with it
and right.
Just be one with the material for however long you need without interruptions, without doing other material, thinking about other subjects. And it begs the question, what is the best method of learning all of the college level classes that you need? would it be more beneficial to take one class at a time or two classes at a time for a shorter period so that you could really focus on the material for one subject and then move on to the next?
Rhoda, what's your take?
Go to Northwestern.
I know that that's how they do it. A couple schools in Massachusetts, they do that. They do a trimester instead and take like two or three classes.
Right, yeah, that's the same thing.
Northwestern does three semesters, three classes,
trimester.
Nine classes by the end of the year versus maybe, I guess you could do 10 here.
Yeah, but most likely you're doing eight, four and four.
You usually do eight.
Unless you're...
Or nine.
Overachiever.
You could do a 5 and 4.
Yeah. Probably like if you're low, if you need a makeup credit, or if you're taking a hard major. But I bet you, the more common thing is four.
You can
classes,
slide by
right?
with 4 and 4.
Yeah, I feel like when you get to the end of these four class semesters, you're just like, this was all a blur. I can barely stitch things together. I barely remember the things that I'm just reviewing for the final. I'm gonna forget tomorrow, and it's not a whole picture. You know what I mean? It's just you're just scattered.
Dude,
when you're scattered,
you're just a mess. You're just a big mess.
What a mess.
That's what I say. Every morning, every afternoon, every evening, every night, and it's so true.
What a mess.
Hey, going back to that dude, his name was The Great Explainer.
The Great Explainer.
That's a great nickname.
Just like, hey, The Great Explainer.
The Greatest Explainer. Wow.
Yeah, what are some of the best nicknames of all time?
Best nicknames?
I think Great Explainer is up there.
The Great Bambino.
There was this oil trader back in the day, and everyone, like, in that business called him God.
No way.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's big stuff.
That's a big nickname.
That's a big nickname. He must have been good.
With a big G, too, right?
Oh, a big G. He had a big G.
You know you made it.
There's this guy out in California. He's good with, like, trading bonds. They call him the Bond King.
Oh, that's good stuff. Really
good the one. Bond.
If you're a king of anything, that's pretty good.
Yeah. What, I guess every rapper has a nickname, too.
Or a stage name.
Imagine if you named your son Lil Yachty. That's his real name. Yep.
What about athletes with cool nicknames?
I like CP3. I like PG-13.
Great nicknames.
Big Poppy.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that guy on the Warriors? He's on Lakers before.
Swaggy P.
Swaggy P.
Oh, yeah.
That's a
It seems thing. A little forced.
Swaggy P? I don't know. He's got the swag. I don't know.
It seems a little forced.
Of course, we're talking about Nick Young of the Golden State Warriors. Shooting guard, 6'7". He's a baller. But he's also the swaggiest P. He was like, why do they call you Swaggy P? And he was like, because I'm swaggy. And the P part I just made up. No meeting.
Another great slew of nicknames came from us, from one of the great states in our nation, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
On the Jersey Shore, we had Snooki.
Snooki.
Oh, wow. Pauly D.
We had Pauly D. We had Mike, the Situation.
Oh, he was this.
We got Situation. It's coming back. Ronnie. That was a great show.
Oh my god!
I wonder what they're doing now, though.
I'm gonna watch it. I will watch it. I'm in. They hook, lined, and sinkered me. I'm gonna watch that.
That was like 8th grade or 7th grade middle school.
Yeah, that show raised me.
Wow.
It's all starting to make sense now.
That was good. Those are some good nicknames. Those are some good nicknames. What other walks of life are there nicknames?
My nickname, Oats.
Oats.
Oats are below bland, though.
Of course, on TUXE, we got some of the best nicknames of all time. We're talking about Fat Whale, Dirty Manure, just all sorts of just really offensive stuff, really hurtful.
I think that's a nut.
You know what I mean?
Don't we have a nut?
Who's nut?
Harry.
Okay, yeah.
He's nut.
Because he's crazy. He's nutty.
Hell yeah.
He's a big nut.
Okay.
But anyway, it's always good to bring people down a little bit, you know what I mean? Because they're all up in their pedestal and stuff. So we got to bring people down a little bit. Take them down a notch.
You're right. Everyone needs to get knocked down on a regular basis.
Because then you're just humble. You're just one with the world.
Dude, everyone's like, always down. Walking around like, I'm better than everyone for this. Maybe they've got one or two reasons in their head.
Man, I feel all yeah. the world. You try to love everyone. ELE. Everyone love everyone.
Yo, Hirota's walking around. I'm all-American in the 800.
Whoa. You baited me.
Meanwhile, nobody knows.
Nobody even cares about that. Let's be real.
It's a very good accomplishment.
Like 1%
great
of this campus. Like,
I would love
that.
I would love that. I'm sure James would love that.
No one else cares about that. If I tell them, like, oh, I know how to make sushi, they'll be like, oh, wow.
Yeah, they're about that. All right. Yeah.
Leave with that.
There are definitely niche accomplishments and then more general accomplishments or skills.
Skills. I mean, I don't know if it's like an accomplishment, like, oh, you know how to make sushi.
Like, what's like a universal accomplishment that everyone could look at and be like, wow?
Nobel Prize.
Yeah, I was just about to say
Nobel Prize.
Nobel Prize. Easy.
Like, way to go. You did it.
If you're the president, I mean, maybe.
Not anymore.
Win the NFL championship.
You're a Super Bowl champion.
Super Bowl MVP.
Is there like a regular Joe Schmo accomplishment, though? They're like,
Black belt in karate. Running a marathon. Actually, that's the most fad hobby.
Most
fad hobby.
Running a marathon?
Yeah.
I feel like it. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, cool. That's something you did.
My opinion. Yeah. Any able-bodied person can run a marathon if they give themselves enough time.
100%.
For sure.
100%.
Undoubtedly true.
I mean, what's that hard? You just start running.
Exactly.
You know, stop.
You were born to do it.
True. Yeah, marathon's definitely an accomplishment.
It's like a small accomplishment that people overhype.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe like being a doctor. That's like a pretty big thing.
Doctor. Yeah, I guess you can boil it down to like profession.
Yes.
Definitely.
If you have a PhD, you're like pretty legit anywhere.
PhD, definitely. Unless you get from some like whack, like you get a whack PhD, I think.
All right, yeah. We got a track coming up for you guys.
What's the wackest PhD though?
Like a place still has to have a PhD program, you know? I'm sure there are.
Never mind. Actually, getting a PhD, very impressive.
I'm sure there are some Jackwoods.
Yeah, probably some Jackwoods.
All right, this song's by Kendrick Lamar. It's called God. Thank you for listening to Anything Is Possible Radio 91.5 WMFO Medford Somerville. We got it all. Anyways, thanks for listening. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
This what I feel like. Yeah. Laughing to the bank like ah. Yeah. Flex on swole like ah. Yeah. You feel some type of way then ah. Yeah. Ever since a young man. All I wanna be was a gunman. Shooting up the charge, better run, man. Y'all gotta see that I won, man. Slick is out of bars with the finger waves. Work a JG. Handle bars like a fade. Watch me work a JG. I'm at large running plays like a circuit JG. I'm selling versus JG. Watch me work a JG.
La la. Hold up.
Don't judge me, my mama caught me with a strap. Don't judge me, I was young, fucking other rats. Don't judge me, aim it at your head for stack. Don't judge me. Don't judge me, now my home got a valley key. Don't judge me, if I press your line, you're free. Don't judge me, won't you tell a friend, y'all gon' see. This what God feel like. Yeah. Laughing to the bank like ah. Yeah. Flex on swole like ah. Yeah. You feel some type of way then ah. Yeah.
is you talking to? Hey, do you know who you talking to? Slide on you like falling drapes. Got touch full of carnivals. I kill them with kindness. Or I kill them with diamonds. Or I put up like 1500. Get your ass killed by the finest. Everything life is a gamble. Nothing in life I can't handle. Seen it all, done it all, felt pain more. For the cause, I done put blood on sword. Everything I do is to embrace y'all. Everything I ride is a damn eight ball. Everything I touch is a damn gold mine. Everything I say is from an angel.
I know blood shit, fuck shit, always your shit, my shit. Getting boss to ignite shit. Morning to the night shift, I'm on.
I ain't sorry for it. Ask for a peace of mind, you charge me for it. I wanna see sometimes if you ignore it. I'm in the street sometimes and can't afford it.
I got a bad habit. Levitate, ducking haters. Oh my, my heart is rich, my heart is famous.
That was Kendrick Lamar with God off of his album Damn. And listen to this, they just released a collector's edition of this record, and it's just the same record with the tracks in reverse, because it's a cyclical album
for the collectors, you know.
For the collectors, they gotta, you know what I mean, just because they have that urge to collect things, they're gonna drop another 20. Yeah. Anyways, we got John Greenberg in the studio.
What's up?
How you doing?
Welcome, Berg.
Just had a hard-ass exam. What do you guys know about the Byzantine Empire?
Byzantine.
Did it just end?
No, it ended in 1453 with the fall of Constantinople.
Now it's Istanbul, right?
Now it's Istanbul, yeah. It was an interesting course. But, you know, it was a big weight lifted off my shoulder that I'm finished this last exam.
That's nice. Dude, in, like, high school, when you talk about Byzantine, it's usually just, like, Rome fell, we had this Byzantine thing, and then it ended.
Yeah, it's typically, you know, glossed over in history. So I definitely respect the dude, Professor David Proctor, for, you know, shedding light on a pretty influential group of people that are typically neglected in world history.
Let's go, Proctor. He's going to the next level.
You know what I always wonder?
What's that?
How much of history is wrong? If you had to give me a percentage, you know, because victors write the history books.
It's all perspective.
How much of is like wrong, like flat out wrong?
Yo, that is super interesting because I guess
I would say 40%.
Since like
40%, wow.
In like early history, people like the only people who had access to, I guess, like document history was the elites.
Right.
So yeah. It's like you're coming at it from only the like aristocratic perspective. So yeah, that's pretty cool to think about.
They probably got it right after like what, 1400?
Well, I guess that's why like the profession of a historian is still, you know, very much valued. Because you look at this like old history and you critique it.
Damn.
And it's also never going to be totally right, because you're always only getting part of the story, no matter what.
Okay. Right.
All right.
How many, like, fallen, like, conquered civilizations were there that were just built over and we don't know about them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be a lot. I bet, what if there's, the Egyptians, you know what I mean? Like, straight up, an unbelievably a prosperous early on society that we just don't know about, or we think was something else. It's almost like thinking about ancient aliens.
Or then you're like thinking about it. If you're thinking about the world from like an empire perspective, it's like, yo, this like ragtag group of people who call themselves the Americans took over the British and then like 3,000 years later, they were gone and something else replaced. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we are basically just like this, like, bootleg civilization in the grand scheme of, like, history.
How long do you think after today America will be known for?
I don't know, because, like, we're...
How many years?
What do you think?
At least a couple thousand years. A
couple thousand?
At least.
I think long... We have the interesting part of the internet. Like, if we can store information perpetually, then, like, we'll have an interesting look in history, or people will have an interesting look in history when they look back on this time period, because they'll have perspectives from everyone across the world. There's 2 billion Facebook users.
Right.
And you'll be able to look back at every single one of those posts and see what history was like from virtually everywhere.
Jeriff, my question to you, though, is, like, at what point do you think there would be, like, an information overload? Do we already have the mechanisms in place, like, to, like, prevent something like that? Or do you literally think, like, because at a certain point, bro, like, there's just so much information that has to be stored.
Right. The way Star Trek predicts it is, there'll basically be, like,
here we go,
a time when everyone's, like, learning pretty advanced stuff, and there still exists a database of anything you need to know about any previous time period from the digital age onward. Because even though you'd never learn at all, if you ever need to learn about one particular thing, the information is there, and it's stored in a way where it can easily be accessed. I think it could very easily go in that direction. So there will be people who know about it potentially for the rest of humanity.
Hmm. All right.
That's my theory.
But will people even want to know? Because, you know, anyone can get a book at the library and go and look all this stuff up that we're learning now about the Byzantine Empire, but, like, I don't care. Right?
Yeah, but it could even skip generations, and if the information's still there, then it could be accessed at some point.
Could be.
So, yeah, it could be.
All right, get this. Moore's Law.
I knew we were going here.
The exponential increase of the number of transistors on integrated circuits.
Oh, this is, like...
It's 7 years,
technology,
right?
Technology gets smaller, right?
So the number of transistors on integrated circuits doubles approximately every 2 years. In 2000, a hard drive had the capacity of 10 gigabytes. Now in 2017, we're looking at over 10,000 in the same amount of space. So, that's pretty cool. That's pretty good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Exponential growth on that. And also, I wanted to add, you know, humanity is like super bootleg when you get out. You know what I mean? You kind of realize it's just like a bunch of merchants looking for people to, like, advance their business. And overall, like, society's really inefficient, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like everybody's in place doing their optimal role to, like, progress technologically and stuff, you know?
Correct.
It's, like, not even close. It's so far from that. Yet we still, like, make tremendous progress every year.
Yeah.
And that's the, there you go, that's the take.
Dude, there's a sad truth, but more companies should fail. You know what I mean?
Then they do, right?
Because then the people working at that company, whatever the company was, if it was bad, it should fail. And all those workers should be reorganized into more efficient roles elsewhere.
Right.
At better companies.
Because anytime you're working for a failing company...
It's not worth it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Producer surplus.
It's one of those econ consumer things. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. We want that consumer surplus. I'm all up on that. I'm just trying to get as much consumer surplus as I can.
Yeah,
Cyber Monday, you know, Black Friday. I just want that consumer surplus. I just want that triangle to be bigger. Economics.
Disposable income.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Yo, James, what sort of tunes you've been listening to as of late, would you say?
All right. to transition to the new segment of our show called Music. A segment where we talk about music.
Yeah.
We've got the new Heart Records. We've been talking about this, but revisiting a record called A New Place to Drown by Archie Marshall.
Oh, it's a great record.
I'll play you a sample right now.
I like the song Swell.
I mean, you know, that's a great tune. Oh my god.
I like them all.
Here's the tune. This is Archie Marshall from A New Place to Drown, Swell. So I like his use of you know what I mean? Like electronic production.
Yeah, this is awesome production.
Really cool stuff. He's also King Cruel. Check him out.
James.
What's up?
Turn my headphones up.
Oh yeah, I got you.
Let's look at this guy's
Let's hit his wiki.
Yeah.
Let's look at the Wikipedia.
We're talking about a guy who is 22 years old right here, right now.
I mean,
now.
That voice is nuts, bro. That voice, he sounds like he's like a chain-smoking, you know, English countryside farmer.
Yeah.
The dude's 19 years old and just like a brilliant experimental artist.
To bring us back to nicknames, so his real name is Archie Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
He's got King Cruel, also known as Zoo Kid, DJ JD Sports.
JD Sports.
Edgar the Beatmaker. Edgar the Breathtaker. Lank Slacks. The Return of Pimp Shrimp.
The Return of Pimp Shrimp.
That's all of his nicknames.
Amazing stuff.
22 years old.
What a beast. The dude's a beast. Alright. Also, we got a new record by Brockhampton.
Oh, really?
Just
came out.
Yo, have you heard that one Bleach on there?
All right, let's get it here.
The beginning of Bleach is fire.
This is it, the new Brockhampton record.
This is a self-described boy band from Texas.
Self-described. Oh my god.
Yeah.
There it is. They met on a Kanye West forum.
Crazy. And the main guy, Kevin Abstract, he's like done some solo stuff. He's good.
Nice work, Kevin Abstract. Keep it up. Keep up the good work.
He directs movies and music videos too.
What can I say? The dude's a beast.
You know a group we haven't heard from in a while?
What's that?
The Internet.
The Internet.
Forgot about them.
Yeah, man, they're good. There are a lot of just like cool artists out there.
Yeah.
Here's a tune. Bird's really big into it. It's called When You Die. It's by MGMT.
Oh, you like that? Yeah.
I love
this song.
I thought
it was good. Yeah, yeah.
New stuff.
Kind of depressing. But upbeat.
You know, the little MGMT vibes.
Yeah.
Wesleyan, born and raised.
Yeah, raised.
Yeah.
I have a funny story about MGMT. So, a really close family friend who goes to Brown, who I used to carpool to Hebrew school with. Her name's Rachel. Her brother Daniel went to Wesleyan and was roommates with one of the guys in MGMT.
Really?
Yeah, and they're friends. So, for Rachel's 18th birthday, her brother invited her to his apartment in Brooklyn. He was like, all right. Like, she was still in high school. He was like, all right, Rachel, going to show you a fun time. This will be nice. You can meet my friends, blah, blah, blah. So, whatever. They're drinking a little bit, hanging out, and all of a sudden, MGMT just storms in and sings her happy birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Just surprises her.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
She's like, what?
If you had to have an artist sing happy birthday or band.
Oh, shit.
For you.
I think James and I are on the same wavelength with this one.
Would it be the man himself?
I think it would. I think it might be Froschen. Like,
Frankie Ocean.
Dude, that guy could turn Happy Birthday into like the number one song. Actually, yo, probably. I bet you if Drake sang Happy Birthday like behind a fucking dance hall beat, it could be number one. If he tried really hard.
That would be cool. That would be really cool.
Yeah, yeah. He knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly the hits. What to do to make a hit.
Yeah.
Frank Ocean. Greenberg, what would Frank Ocean's singing Happy Birthday sound like?
What would it sound like? It would probably like start off with this like fucking ambient like synth in the back, and then he would just like pitch down his voice for a little bit and say like Happy Birthday to you, then like the last time he sings Happy Birthday, he just goes full out like belting it from the heart. Slows down, it gets a little electronic and like trippy and cool. I don't know,
there you go, that's what it would sound like.
Yeah,
you know, just imagine that for about a minute
and tell me you wouldn't want the same thing to happen to you.
Right. Oh my god,
who do you think you would pick?
Oh, I want to say something about Frank Ocean. I gotta think about that one. You probably all heard this story, but I guess Chance was living with Tyler and Frank Ocean at one point in
Chance
L.A.
Chance was.
I think it was the three of them.
Wow.
I don't know, maybe not, or A$AP Rocky, whatever.
Yeah.
It was in L.A., and Chance had some girl over. It was like before he was like famous, like when he was just doing like the mixtapes, he was kind of cool. And he was just with some girl upstairs, chilling on the couch. And Frank Ocean, like after some date, and Frank Ocean came up and started playing the piano and singing for them.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, this is my friend Frank. He's gonna play a little tune on the piano, we're just gonna hang out.
Dude.
Chance is just like, I'm a beast. You can't beat me. Oh my god.
Yeah, I think Tyler's super talented too. Like,
oh my god.
I think he's really good.
He's a beast.
Pitchfork had his album top 10. Top five this
top
year?
Top five.
Of course, this
I
is
like.
The,
I personally liked it way better than Jay-Z's record.
I listened to Jay-Z's record once. I was like, yeah, good.
Well, I think it's just a demographic thing. Like,
yeah,
I think
like
old hip-hop heads would be really into the Jay-Z thing because of it's like, cause he's just like the grandiosity associated with him.
Dude.
But I think Tyler's really just kind of like good at, you know, putting cool sounds together that like typically don't go together.
100%.
Yeah, when you're 35, you're gonna be going wild for the next Tyler album, and some kids are gonna be sitting in this exact seat. You know, it's the Tyler, it's for the jaded crowd, you know,
for
that old
crowd.
Wave, you know,
that Little Pump guy.
We got this new guy.
He's so intellectual. What, like, you know, how will everything devolve? Either?
I have no idea.
What?
For about a year or two, we were going in the dubstep direction. It was like, oh boy.
Oh wow.
That's what I thought. Now I think it's like the like rhyming ya with ya direction.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, to continue the music segment, we're talking about, this is list season for music fans.
List season. Oh shit, okay.
You know what, music isn't about, you know, the sounds and stuff. It's about making lists, okay?
Yeah.
Number 10 on Pitchfork top 10 albums of 2017. We've got J Lin, Black Origami. Now, this is a pretty dark electronic production record.
I'm not even familiar with that work, actually.
Next, we got
a whole other genre.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. We got Fever Ray with Plunge at number 9. Who's that? Number 8, Tyler, the Creator with Flower Boy.
Yeah, see, like, that was a good record.
That's pretty good. Pretty good rating there.
Dude, that SZA record was nuts, too. Control.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
Crazy.
Still waiting on that Schoolboy Q album.
And ASAP.
Yeah.
Number 7, Vince Staples with Big Fish Theory.
I like Summertime 06 a whole lot more.
All right, there's the take.
I don't know. I appreciated this new one just cuz it like blended like elements of like hard Jamie XX with rap.
Okay.
Kind
of
to
cool.
me, right? And then even you just throw in Ray J into it. He has a song with Ray J on top of this, like, fucking hard, like, Yeezus-esque thing. I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
Unbelievable. We got Moses Sumney with Aromanticism at number 6. Number 5, we got Lord with Melodrama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number four, Kalela, Take Me Apart.
Yeah, people love
it. I've listened to it.
No, I think that's good, but like it's... I feel like she's like what Solange was last year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Is it the number four album of the year? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know enough to like make that decision, but like I typically trust the Pitchfork people.
Uh-huh.
Before we go on into the top five, Proto, what was your...
The top three.
Yeah, what was yours?
What was your favorite or maybe top few songs of the year? What have you listened to the most? What was your Spotify thing?
My favorite song of the year, May I Have This Dance.
By who?
They have this
by
Francis.
Francis and the Lights and Chance the Rapper.
Okay.
Favorite song this year.
You love Chance.
The song of the summer for me. I love the little dance that they do. Oh, it's so great.
Yo, I was saying this and like this might be like a very standard poppy like cookie cutter response, but I genuinely believe that Slide was the best song of the year.
Really?
Not necessarily in its like artistic integrity.
Okay, yeah.
But just in terms of all of the elements of what makes a good song in 2017,
yep.
I think Slide hit it all.
Song of the summer, definitely.
To me, I mean.
Definitely.
There you go. Slide.
I mean, it was a good song. It was a good really track. Good song.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sometimes I get put off by the mass appeal of certain songs.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a song that I could look past, you know?
Yeah.
Number three, we got King Krule with The Ooze. Now, this is a good record.
That was a good record. Now, this is a good record.
Yeah. Of course, the best song coming off that record is Dumb Surfer. Good track.
Biscuit.
Good track.
We should have gone and seen him.
Next time he's around, I'm seeing him. This dude is so wild.
All right, next we got SZA with Control. Number two.
Yeah, dude, Dumb Surfer is a crazy, incredible song.
What a track. Oh, my God. Yo, this is a song called Love Galore. SZA featuring Travis Scott. What a combo.
This is a great song, too. This is, like, one of the best songs of the year, too.
Right. 100%. And then last of all, a song... we played a song off this record earlier in the show, but it is Kendrick Lamar's Damn...
Yeah.
Huge release.
Damn. Yeah.
Damn.
It's aged well nicely.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Well, no nicely. Doubt.
That was definitely like the most. That was like the most impressive record I've heard in a really long time.
I thought the craziest thing about that whole thing was how he did the... I don't know if it was a Big Sean diss, like 3 weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
He had that, like, it was The Heart Part 4.
That's a nuts song.
That song got forgotten. That song is crazy.
Yo, James, play that song, The Heart Part 4 by Kendrick.
And the crazy thing about that is in that song he talks about Serge Ibaka getting into a fight. Like, on the basketball court, it was him and Robin Lopez, which had happened, like, not even 24 hours before that song got released. So he was still writing it.
Unbelievable. Crazy.
That wasn't like a finished product. That was like, I'm going to make this in like a week or so.
La Flame Can Make Him Fire. This just in. Anyway, this is The Heart Part 4 by Kendrick Lamar.
Crazy track.
Starts off with the birds.
Little bird action.
Little Ryan Bird
action. Kendrick's on the top of the world. He's the greatest rapper. I know he refers to himself as the greatest rapper. I wonder if like that's his nickname with certain groups of people. You know what I mean?
You can make the case he's the best ever.
Oh, totally. 100%. I'd even argue.
Lyrically?
And people might just like be like, hey, the greatest ever. You're gonna make another track? Hey, the greatest ever. What's going on?
I mean, we live in a world where like we don't wanna say people who are alive are the greatest ever, but like I feel like that's conversation is typically like only in certain like disciplines. Like Michael Phelps is the greatest swimmer ever.
Right.
I don't think there's any disputing that. But he's alive right now. Why are we okay like saying that just because he won the most Olympic medals? Like, does this guy really have to win as much Grammys like to be the best? Like, I feel like that's just like.
I think it's because he's not done yet.
Yeah.
You know, if he messes up, he goes down.
That, okay, that's also very true.
It's like with Armstrong, Lance Armstrong. He was the greatest ever. Nope.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he goes down. Yeah. Or it's because they have like a lot more to do. You know, you don't want to say someone's the greatest ever and then next week they do something even greater. You're like, well now they're the greatest ever, right?
Waiting on that LeBron PED scandal.
That's right. Yeah.
Could you imagine, dude? Literally imagine like... This is like a warped like thing to think about, but like imagine like if LeBron got into like a legal dispute that was like as big as OJ or something.
Wow, my God.
Could you imagine how insane that would be?
But you know, as of now, as of December 18th, 2017, LeBron James is the greatest basketball player to ever play the game.
Yeah.
An alien. Like if an alien species came to, this is the question, and alien species comes to the Earth, it's like, we'll play a game of basketball one on one for your planet. Hey, are you putting Michael Jordan out there in his prime, or are you putting LeBron out there?
I think you put in the true, unstoppable physical specimen that is LeBron James.
That's a weird way to pronounce Porzingis.
I think we already have the answer to this, though. It's Michael Jordan. He has the movie.
Oh, yeah, true.
Right. He's got the movie.
Aren't they doing a second, though, for LeBron?
Yeah, but, like...
That's been in the works for a while.
The second one, Ollie's, is terrible. It's Michael Jordan. That's the OG.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No doubt.
Hey, how about a new segment called Movies? Jerf, what were the top five movies of the year?
We got the top five from Jerf.
Dunkirk was nuts.
Yeah, Dunkirk is in the top five.
Okay. There's more to be released. It's Oscar season.
Thor Ragnarok.
I've heard great things.
The best documentary of the year was Jim and Andy.
Jim and Andy.
So this is not. This is a. It's on Netflix. I'd recommend watching it as soon as possible. It premiered, I think, at Sundance, and then Netflix just acquired the rights to it. So in the 90s, Jim Carrey was playing this comedian named Andy Kaufman, who was just, like, a nutso comedian. But it was someone that, like, Jim Carrey really, you know, loved and was inspired by. But when he was filming this movie, he didn't get out of character for the entire 6 months, and he was just driving everyone insane.
Wow.
Right? And there was like behind the scenes footage of him just staying on character, just freaking out everyone, like causing this mass just like hysteria. So Spike Jonze, the guy that directed Her, he executive produced this documentary that compiled all this never before seen footage, coupled with like Jim Carrey just basically like talking to the camera to like talk to you like about like his own mind.
Oh my God.
And it just like talks about kind of like how his life as a method actor kind of exists. And it's so good. It's like an hour and a half.
I'll watch. I will really definitely watch.
Well done. Yeah, that sounds.
Jim Carrey is a legend.
He's a legend.
What's going on with him recently? He's like, I'm not Jim Carrey.
Yeah,
he's getting mad existential and stuff. Like, that's what's like in the thing too. It's like really cool.
Wow.
He's been in some trippy movies. We were just looking at this the other day.
What was the one in the guy in the bubble?
The Truman Show.
Whoa, that's a crazy movie.
That's a crazy movie.
It's so good.
Because everyone has that thought, you know? What if I'm just in this world and everyone's acting around me?
Right.
Everyone has that thought.
You can't prove it.
Because to you, you are the center of the world.
You're the center of your own life.
You're just an actor.
Dude, we're all just actors.
We're all just actors.
We all play the part. We go to school.
Herodo, are we humans or are we dancers?
Nah, dude, we're actors, not dancers. I mean, we could be dancers. We're just little puppets.
Yeah, we're dancers.
Puppets.
actors, puppets, dancers. It doesn't even matter, though.
Anyway, here's a little transition to a new segment of the show.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Doorknobs, restrooms, telephones, keyboards, other people. What do these things have in common? They are all easy ways for you to pick up or pass along germs. Germs that could lead to colds and flu. Now, you can't spend your days avoiding contact with everything, but you can take a few important steps to protect yourself. Washing your hands is one of the best and easiest ways to avoid catching or spreading colds and flu. Keeping your hands and the surfaces you touch clean protects not only you, it also protects those around you. A few extra minutes a day is all it takes to put your health first. For more on avoiding the flu, talk to your doctor or visit massmed.org and click Your Health First. This public health message brought to you by the Massachusetts Medical Society, Tufts Educational Radio, WMFO Medford 91.5, Somerville, Medford, Cambridge, Boston, you know, Malden. We got it all. Tufts Educational Radio. You know, we're out here teaching kids. You know what I mean? It's part of the college, you know what I mean? A learning thing. Anyway, that's it. That's the segment.
What are your top five reads of the year?
Top five reads of the year?
Food Not Bombs.
Food Not Bombs, definitely up there. You know what I mean? I prefer food to bombs, I'll be honest.
It comes down to the choice. Probably side with food.
Yeah. And it's only because, like, bombs, they're not the best tasting, no. You know what I mean, things to put in your mouth.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of an easy choice, you know, to be honest. But, yeah, good organization, you know what I mean? Weird name, Food Not Bombs, but good intentions all around.
Yo, what was your most disappointing record of the year?
Ooh.
Most disappointing record of the year. Here we go. Here we go.
I mean,
Eminem.
Were you even excited for it?
No.
Yeah, so.
He's washed.
He's washed. He's washed. What do you think of Love Is Rage 2?
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah, no, it wasn't that disappointing. That new Big Sean is trash.
Yeah, I didn't listen to that.
I mean, it's not trash. I don't know.
It's a Big Sean album.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
The new Grizzly Bear record, Painted Ruins.
Any good?
It was like, there was some of this stuff on it, you know what I mean? It's like, this is like, they plugged it into an indie rock hit generator. Like this song, oh my god. But they got some good stuff
Taylor
on it.
Taylor Swift? I mean, were you excited for that either? Like,
yeah, I didn't listen to it. James, what'd you think of the new Japandroids?
Japandroids. I think I listened to it very briefly, a couple of tracks.
That was back in, like, January.
But, you know what I mean? It was a big release.
Dude, they're loving... critically, they like the Playboi Carti tape.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting, because I didn't really... I don't really get it.
Here's some Japandroids for you. Playboi Carti...
I don't get it.
You don't get it?